Technorama episode 591. Star Trek Cruise In. My headphones are really loud tonight. I don't know why. Wow, I gotta prop those down.
Yeah.
There, much better.
All right.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you very much. Wow, 590. You got in just before the 600 mark.
Yes.
If you are a returning viewer / listener / participant, thank you /
/ what's this, like a horror movie?
Or a URL, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Please send another path parameter. Hey, this is Technorama. I am Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am excited and ready to take off on my cruise, sir.
I've been ready for this cruise for about 2 months.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm ready.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting week. That's all I got to say.
Just to let everybody know, right?
Yes.
Up front, we're going on a Star Trek cruise.
Star Trek cruise four.
Four again. We were on the third one and we're on the fourth one. And we're going to, you know what? I don't know about you, Chuck, but I get a lot of people who go, oh, you're going on a cruise. What kind of cruise? I'm like, a Star Trek cruise. Oh, I didn't know there were themed cruises like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have been for a long time.
All right, so I get that, right? Yeah. I didn't know there were themed cruises. And then I was like, oh, yeah, they've even got Marvel ones. Disney's got a bunch of them. Anyway, so then are you dressing up? I'm like, possibly. I have a couple of little things I'm gonna wear, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, and they kind of laugh. I'm like, what do I care? I'm 51 and I'm married, so I'm just having a good time. Who am I impressing? So, yeah.
To me, this is the best of a con and a cruise put together. I've been to cons, I've been to cruises. This is awesome. There's only one problem. There's so much to do. I mean, there's a lot to do on a regular cruise, but you're deciding between cruisy stuff. You know, there's bingo in the main lounge, or there's trivia on deck four, or there's, you know, and when you're in port, you usually go ashore and you see the sights, of course, snorkeling or something like that. Yeah. This is tough because even when you're in port, there's stuff really interesting going on ship, like a con. It's hey, do you want to go listen to Dr. Aaron McDonald talk about, you know, this cool spacey NASA stuff that has to do with Star Trek? Yes, I do, but I also want to go snorkeling.
Yeah. Well, and when you say snorkeling, some of the excursions do include the star,
many of the actors
from the show. So, yeah, it's kind of a, thing. But you know what I'm looking forward to? I don't do autographs and stuff a lot.
Oh, I give people autographs all the time.
Well, wait a minute. So, like at Dragon Con, I prefer to, like, speak to somebody. Like, I think of the time you and I spoke to Alan Ruck and people like that. And to me, that's more memorable than, hey, I got an autograph. But I am looking forward to, because you guys get it as well, the photograph with the Voyager crew. Because we signed up for the cruise last time on the ship.
Looking forward to that.
So I am looking forward to that. I like last year, I...
You mean this Ellen Ruck?
Which one? Yeah, Florida.
Hey, this is Alan Ruck, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. And they're no damn good.
Just because
he's installing it on Tuesday.
He's not going to be on the cruise.
No, he's not going to be on the cruise. But anyway, some of the interactions, we had a few interactions, right? My wife ran into Will Wheaton and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into Rene Bergeron and his son.
I just love the way he massacres.
Bourgeois, whatever. You know, like, I ran into him sort of. And then I collected waves. You know, I would wave at different people. We even have video of me waving at John DeLancey. And he waved back, like, confused. Am I supposed to walk this way or that way? So So anyway, that's the kind of stuff I prefer. Little stories. I want to have fun telling people.
See if I can get my camera working for you. There. No. There. Camera? Yes, there. Whew. Two cameras and one wasn't working. Had to fix that.
So yes, okay. It's a lot of fun. You know, a lot of opportunity. Oh, William Shatner will be there, although I haven't seen much in the way of what he's doing.
I haven't either. Have you seen his name on the agenda? Oh, Donna says she's got three things for him.
Well, signatures and stuff. I don't know. Maybe I need to look at the schedule a little closer.
Tends to be very aloof on these things.
So that means look out for vacation photos from Chuck and Craig
when we get
in
back.
A couple weeks.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of, let's do our feedback thing. Now that we've told you all about what's coming up in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
This is what happened last week.
Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Those letters, I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh boy,
mailman.
Mailman.
Mail today.
Oh, I got a live comment from Dan Letha on Facebook. It said, hey Chuck, love the shirt.
The shirt?
My Flash shirt.
Oh, Flash.
Yeah, yeah.
I got like two of them. I won one at Heroes Con.
So our Flash question shirt. Of the week this week was, what source material should they never attempt to make a movie of? I think we asked the wrong crowd for this when you look at most of the answers we've got. Tim Seelan says, after they make a movie about the video game Mortal Kombat, I hope they won't make a Tetris or Solitaire into a movie. I agree. But we also have crazy people like, I don't know if Jorgas is in this one.
In what?
Here, Tim says, my diary, don't even think about it, especially the part when I was 16. Weber Baker says, any string of tweets off Twitter. Oh, yeah, Twitter, the movie.
Please. No, no, no.
Richard Green, this is where I started sensing a theme. Richard Green says, pretty much any computer technical manual. I think somebody put in one of my responses, like, hey, the Unix
Chuck,
programmer's
guide. I watched
the
movie ISO 9660. It was riveting.
they had like the Linux kernel source code.
It's just scrolling.
Mark Blackburn of the America at War podcast says, Bakelite. Remember that old original brown plastic? It was Bakelite's birthday a couple weeks ago. Remember? We just did that. Dominic Cardea says, American Medical Association Guide to Proctological Procedures. Dark. Very dark.
Wait a minute. Joe Fiore says, Podcasting for Dummies.
Hey.
Hey, wait a minute.
Podcasting for Dummies, the movie. Troy Hillier says, history would suggest Dune. Michael Slobodnik says, ITIL. Yeah, ITIL. Great source material there.
Boy, that would be a snoozer.
And then John Chapin comes back with another one. He says, well, I'm guessing the source code for the .NET compiler would not make a particularly good movie, but that's just me. Good question, though. Do you have any rather curious ones?
Well, Norbert Davis said Coffee.
Coffee, the movie.
Yeah.
All right.
Jack Mangan said, how to avoid ships. Was that a book? Oh, it is. Wow. How to avoid huge ships.
How to avoid huge ships? That's a movie. That's a book?
Well, and that's kind of funny because I remember about a month or two ago, there was that video that went viral of the two cruise ships colliding.
Yes. I see where you're going with that.
Apparently they didn't see that book.
We have one that came in from not on the comments of this. Thomas Hausman said,
yeah, by the way, if you want to leave feedback, you can do it through Facebook Messenger. If you go through our Facebook page, there's a Messenger link. You can go check on that.
There's also a button you can click to call us, and it'll leave us a voicemail so you could hear your voice on this podcast.
Hint, hint.
Or you can call us on the listener line right there if you're watching, 707-530-2428 in the U.S., or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. There we go.
Hey, you don't have to wait till International Technorama Voicemail Month call us. Yeah, that's in November.
Tom Hausman, who I've known for many years, says, okay. Topics to not use for movies, sewage treatment. I don't know. Dirty Jobs went over well. You know,
this did this. It's funny. This question didn't go as I planned, as I thought it was going to go. I was going to say like,
I think it went better.
You know, not a good example, but like The Hobbit, you know, where they're don't make a movie out of that, you know, a book or a movie or something people loved and they don't want to see a movie made out of it. But sewage.
Sewage treatment. His other one was locker plant kill floors.
Well, I definitely don't want to see either one of those. Yes, agree.
Okay, locker plant kill floor would make a great band name.
Yeah.
That is our feedback for this week. We will set up another question for you and ask you on social media. You need to remember to cross-post those to other social media platforms, too. All right. History time. Just us this time. No D20s.
Okay. All right.
On this day in history for February 26, 2020, this is the 57th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 309 days remaining in 2020. It was on this date in 1606 that the Janszoon voyage of 1605 and 1606 became the first European expedition to sight Australia, although at the time it was mistaken as part of New Guinea.
Oops. And 404 years ago today.
Wait. We can't find this record.
Yeah, I know. It's not here. So Galileo Galilei was formally banned by the Roman Catholic Church for teaching or defending the view that the Earth orbits the sun.
Can you do the fandango?
Yeah. Can you do the fandango? Yep.
Galileo, you said it. February 26, 1909, Kinemacolor, the first successful color motion picture process, was first shown to the general public at the Palace Theater in London. 1909, and we had the first color film.
That's amazing. I'm sure it wasn't like vibrant and...
No, I think they had to hand paint each cell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Also on this date in 1919, President Woodrow Wilson signed the Act of Congress establishing the Grand Canyon National Park.
Hey, that's just up the street from me.
Yeah, I need to come see it.
1919, that means last year they had the 100th anniversary in the middle of February when it's nice and cold up there.
Mm-hmm.
That same date in 1966 was the launch of the AS-201. It was the first flight of the Saturn V rocket as part of the Apollo program. Oh, very cool.
And happy birthday goes out on this date to French mathematician and politician, 25th Prime Minister of France, François Argaud, born on this date in 1786.
Not too bad. And we're going to keep going with the name massacring. Here we go. Benoît Paul-Émile Clapeyron was a French physicist and engineer. He was born that same date in 1799.
What's the deal with all the French people here? February 26, 1802, French author, poet, and playwright, Victor Hugo.
Or would it be Hugo?
Hugo. Yeah.
Victor
Hugo.
Hugo. What did he
put
write?
In the car. Victor Hugo. Yes. I know as soon as you say it, I'm going to remember it.
Well, there were two statues named after him in a book, in a Disney movie. They lived in a big church in Paris.
You're catching me one of those days. I can't remember. Huh?
Hunchback of
Notre Dame. Oh, the Hunchback of Notre Dame? Okay.
Levi Strauss, the German-American fashion designer, founded Levi Strauss & Company. He was born today in 1829, so put on your pants.
What did you pull in the French Wikipedia entries?
Pretty much.
Born February 26, 1842, French astronomer and author Camille Flammarion.
John Harvey Kellogg. Yes, the man who invented batteries. Wrong. American surgeon co-created cornflakes. He was born the same date in 1852.
And Canadian-American businessman founded the Dow Chemical Company. Herbert Henry Dow was born 154 years ago today.
Maybe that's how they pronounce it in the old country. We don't know.
Dow!
Kenneth Edgeworth, the Irish astronomer, was born 150 years ago today.
Oh, I see what you did. You actually sorted by region. So, Italian chemist and academic, Nobel Prize laureate, Giulio Natta was born on this date in 1903.
Giulio, come over here.
Julio, it's a big one. Oh,
Tex Avery, the American animator, producer, and voice actor, was born 112 years ago.
Actor, American actor and singer Jackie Gleason was born 104 years ago today.
Bang, zoom, straight to the moon. Tony Randall, American actor, director, and producer, was born the same date in 1920.
And Fats Domino, the American singer, songwriter, pianist, was born 92 years ago today.
Born February 26, 1932, American singer, songwriter, guitarist, Johnny Cash.
And American general, engineer, astronaut, Susan Helms, was born on this date in 1958.
Also turning 57 today is American actor, singer, and activist, Chase Masterson. We're going to celebrate
her
birthday on the cruise. Yes. Bring your birthday card.
We should. French mathematician.
from the topic is drag.
Yeah. French mathematician, Nalini. Oh, my gosh.
Nalini Anantharaman.
There you go. It's 44 today. There you go.
You get more than four characters, Craig gets lost.
Yeah. But,
Levi Strauss.
Earl.
Listener birthdays this week include... February 28th is Wayne, your ad here, Pettinger from Bethlehem, PA. Right. And the 29th, we only get to do this one every 4 years, and this is one of those years,
is 12.
Paul Dover, a.k.a. Helmer from Malmesbury, UK. Yeah, he's six this year. Good luck.
Oh, six. Okay.
I don't know how old he is. I would make Happy birthday to all of you. If it's your birthday this week, we wish you all the best. And put your name on the wiki. We'll get your name shout out at the right time of year. And I'm sensing the end of the song coming. I'm sensing. It's coming up.
Is it?
Yes.
All right.
Let's find out. Maybe. Yes. There we go. We can count. Well, we're not counting. That's the way it was on this day in history for February 26, 2020. And we'll just let the band go. Bye.
Bye, guys. Later.
Bad news, nobody.
Well, it is some bad news because we've had another landmark, well, iconic figure. Somebody you don't normally think about.
And there's too many of them, by the way.
But you had to, somebody had to invent this technology. Larry Tesler in a 1989 file photo is pictured coming up. Larry Tesler, a pioneer of personal computing, credited with creating the cut, copy, and paste, as well as the search and replace function, has died. He was 74. Larry Tesler... A pioneer of personal computing, credited with creating the cut, copy, and paste, cut, copy, 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 and paste, as well as the search and re... has died. Well, he was 74.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I did there? Not funny, yes. Huh? No. Anyway, Tesla was not nearly as well-known as computing giants such as Bill Gates or Steve Jobs, but he played an early central role in making computers accessible for people without computer engineering degrees, i.e. most of us. Xerox, the company for whom developed these functions, tweeted out the news of his death. Your workday is easier thanks to his revolutionary ideas. Isn't that amazing that somebody actually had to think of that? You just kind of think, well, it's always been there. If you've got something on the computer, you may want to make copies of it.
So, man, as soon as I got my head wrapped around cut and paste, you know, I'm talking like, you know, back in the day, I was like, oh, this is awesome. And it was such a time saver. I could not even fathom how much time I've saved over the years.
Graphics programs have it. Text editors have it. I mean, everything's got it. It's
Photoshop just, nowadays. Well, you know, everything.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine a world without it. But you know, there was one at one point.
Even some of the less technical people among us, they still use it. So it's amazing. That was such a big impact.
It really, so simple. He took concepts from the print world. I mean, when you were doing cut, copy, and paste, those are literal things you do on paper. He just translated those into the computer world. I'll tell you, it wasn't so easy doing that with punch cards, though. Back when you had to...
You're cutting holes there. You were pasting.
On a key punch, there's no copy and paste. Sorry.
Yeah.
There was
I can
a duplicate
only imagine.
Button. Oh, that's what it was. If you had a card and you typed in one card and you wanted to duplicate, you just hit duplicate and it'll do it again. That was about as close as you got.
As I was like I said, I was thinking, I was like, how could you quantify how he's helped you out? Cause I use it for, you know, everything daily. And I can only imagine myself times how other people use cut, copy and paste.
Can you imagine trying to copy a URL by hand? Type it in with the whole thing. Oh,
well, it's kind of funny. You ever used Synergy? You know what that is?
No.
It's an open source application that you can use. You can have two computers and share the keyboard and mouse between two of them. There's other things that can do that. Logitech can do it with their mouse. Anyway, I remember copying and pasting. I had it turned on. I was using two computers, and I copied a huge thing of SQL script. It was probably like way too big. I shouldn't have been copying it to begin with. But I copied it. And I was like, why is my computer slow? It's because it was copying it through the network.
Oh.
So a small side effect of the copy and paste.
Make sure you have bandwidth.
Yeah, I was like, why is this thing so slow? It was copying like, you know, 5 megs or whatever it was. It was something crazy between two computers.
And it probably wasn't the most optimal way to do it either. Probably didn't say, hey, this is a lot of stuff. Let's just stream it over there.
No, well, the thing was, I didn't even think about it. I wasn't trying to even copy it to the other computer. I just hit copy and paste, you know, control C. I'm like, why did my computer just get so slow? Yeah, anyway. So right. Anyway.
Would you like to take the next one?
That's not Larry's problem, but
we have to follow up on a story.
Yes. Because we talked about this a little bit last time, about using AI to look for to cut the development time down for drugs that target certain specific problems. Mm-hmm. But here, we're just going straight to the end game, I think, and I'll explain that in a minute. So the use of AI to discover medicine that it discovers antibiotics that can kill even the highly resistant bacteria. So the use of AI to discover medicine appears to be paying off. MIT scientists revealed that their AI discovered an antibiotic compound, Halicin, named after the 2001 HALS 9000, can not only kill off many forms of resistant bacteria, but do so in a novel way. There are many antibiotics antibiotics are slight spins on existing medicines. Halicin wipes out bacteria by wrecking their ability to maintain their electromechanical gradient.
Electrochemical.
I saw the M in there. Electrochemical gradient necessary to produce energy storing molecules. That's difficult for bacteria to withstand. E. coli didn't develop any resistance in 30 days, where it fought off the more conventional antibiotic, ciprofloxacin, within 3 days. So the team succeeded by developing a system that can find molecular structures with desired traits, say killing bacteria, often more effective than past systems. Unlike previous methods, the neural network learn representations of molecules automatically. They learn the representation of molecules automatically, mapping them into continuous vectors that help predict their behavior. Once ready, the researchers trained their AI on 2,500 molecules that included both 1,700 established drugs and 800 natural products. When tasked with looking at a library of 6,000 compounds, the AI found that Halicin would be highly effective.
Excellent.
So you know what I was thinking is so I was joking about the AI making a drug to kill off the human race. And then here you go. So you know how antibiotics, if you don't do them right or you take too many of them, bacteria can become resistant, which is what we're talking about here. So I was thinking, oh, this is how they kill us. They just circumvent it, and then they bring the high risk bacteria into play that nothing can affect.
Well, there's bacteria and there's viruses, and I think most immunologists or people who deal with the diseases will tell you the bacteria aren't the ones we really need to worry about. It's the viruses, hence the latest coronavirus outbreak that's been such fun But
yeah. Well, antibiotics don't work against viruses though.
Right. And there's AI and computers are working to create a universal vaccine as well. So there's some stuff going on. There's a lot of great shows on Netflix around this, coincidentally.
Like a singularity?
No.
That would be kind of cool though. Just have one kind of cure yourself.
One shot, done for life. Don't have to worry about those crazy diseases coming from pigs or birds or monkeys.
Let the AI develop some drugs and you could be done for life.
You know, you got to stop wearing that Bender watch face. I think it's getting to you. Kill all humans.
Oh, man. I love the Bender watch face.
All right. Let's go on to the next one since we're talking about staying alive, not dying.
Okay. Let's do that.
I'm
all for that, by the way.
Yes. For the first time ever, astronomers have identified molecular oxygen in a galaxy outside the Milky Way. Wow, that's a long way away. The discovery was made by a team of astronomers at Shanghai Astronomical University led by Junzi Wang. The team identified the presence of molecular oxygen by analyzing the light waves that had reached Earth from Markarian 231, a galaxy about 581 million light years away. Ironically, the presence of oxygen in our own atmosphere, along with other gases, have traditionally made it difficult to get accurate light wave readings from distant galaxies, according to a report on Vice. This, by the way, comes to us from MSN.com. Those light waves are typically absorbed or redirected by various gas elements contained in our atmosphere, making it nearly impossible to get accurate readings. The light waves from Markarian 231, however, came from what's called a quasi-stellar object, or QSO. QSOs are distant objects that have star-like appearance but emit light that's been redshifted, traveling at a lower wave frequency than conventional. Because the light readings from Markarian 231 originated from a QSO, they had significantly lower wave frequency than standard light waves, which allowed them to pass through Earth's atmosphere without any distorting effects. Hooray! We found one! So, oxygen is believed to be one of the key elements necessary for the development of life. We are evidence of that, right? It's believed to be. It's not necessarily. We could have maybe methane-based life forms out there somewhere we don't know about.
Hey,
space continues to amaze us in new and strange ways.
I would say the presence of oxygen doesn't mean we have intelligent life,
right?
And that is pretty evident here as well.
Well, oxygen is toxic and corrosive in many environments, yeah, too. If you took a tank of pure oxygen and you went down about 30 feet underwater, you would quite literally burn your lungs up. So anybody who says they're filling their tank with oxygen is lying. Don't believe them.
Yeah, look what it does to iron.
But oddly enough, hemoglobin, which is iron in your blood, needs the oxygen so you can transport it to the cells so they can. It's really weird. It's crazy how all this stuff is working in our systems, but it does.
Actually, by the way, when I saw this, I was like, okay, so we found a planet that has oxygen. This is like the prequel to Spaceballs.
But it's so far away.
Come on. That was a good joke.
The prequel to Spaceball?
Yeah. They got to go get their air. Remember?
Oh, I see. Yes.
Wow. I had to drag you across the line on that one.
I think we need a break. We're taking a break whether we need it or not. We'll be back in a few seconds.
Got him.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
Hello, America. This is Marlene Forte. I play Celia Flores on Fear the Walking Dead. And you are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Stay tuned. You might even get some pozole.
All right. righty. We have a ton of people joining us in the chat room because I think this live chat party thing is working pretty well.
That's what I'm saying. I saw people. I'm not seeing that on my side, but I saw them before. It was like, yeah, tons of people. That's cool.
I got a cousin. Kathy is out there. Andy, Bruce, SJ, Brian, Josiah, Nate. We mentioned some of these earlier in the show. James, Scott, JT, Mike, Peggy, Melissa Bartell. We mentioned her. Anthony Warnack, Mary Lou, Steve, Kathy. People waving to us. We get the little wave icons. Nicole, Bonnie, Jason, Phil, thank you very much for joining. Bruce, Dan, Brian. Dan says, love the shirt. Julia.
I see CJ, by the way. Did you say CJ?
Gary Lindros. I did not see CJ. Brian, Kathy, Mr. Brian Brown joined for a little while. Wally Thompson. We have Scott Tyler, Dan Letha, Mike Morgan, my brother-in-law. Hey, happy birthday tomorrow to your son, AJ. I think he's going to be 18. 20? I don't know. I lost count. These kids get old fast.
No kidding.
Who did we miss? Ariok. Thank you. Thank you. Morgan Byers. Lots of cousins and relatives joining in. That's kind of the Facebook thing, though.
Oh, see, look. Clinton Alvord's in there, and he got my joke. He said, bring on the Statue of Liberty vacuum cleaner. See?
Yeah, after you explained it.
He gets me.
Some days it's tougher than others. Just smile and go on to the next segment. If you want to join us, Sundays at 9:30 Eastern time is when you can find us hanging out on Facebook. Subscribe to the Technorama podcast page and you'll get the notification that we are out there. You can also find this podcast released on Wednesday mornings, Tuesday nights. When do we usually throw this on the RSS feed?
Officially Wednesday morning, but we do release it in the evening on Tuesday.
YouTube. Usually Tuesday night sometime. So we get it all out there. But if you're live, you're seeing it all unedited and unedited and uncut.
Say that three times fast.
No. I also want to give a thank you to our patrons. These are the people that keep this show financially solvent. We love you so much. And by donating as little as a dollar a show, they get special content and their name enshrined on the show. We are also going on a cruise. And last year we sent postcards to these people.
Yep.
So we need to send out the thing that says, make sure your address is in the Patreon page.
Hey, so if you sign up for Patreon really quick,
you can get a postcard. Yeah, do the CBS All Access thing. Just sign up for a month and leave.
No, the year. No, the year. Yeah, the month. Yeah.
We get a dollar and they get $1.50 worth of postcard.
Yeah, it takes us 50 cents to mail it.
Thank you to Kyle Nishioka, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Nightgig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford. Thank you, Leon. Thank you, John Noble. Thank you, Chris MC. Yes.
Chris MC.
Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, a.k.a. Grant Pachoco. Thank you, Steve Therian and Jorga Schrawin. Thank you for all the wonderful comments you guys put on the question of the week, too. These names just keep coming around. Amber Elstad, Harold McKinstry, you people are fabulous. Amy Bowen, Denise Inglis, Stephen Wetchy, Dean Jensen, Dandy Man Coyer, NCAF1, Christina, and Brian Brown, all of whom have our undying gratitude because we are really working on spending your money fiscally responsibly. Hey, this is not going to beer and cruises. That comes out of our own budget. What this does pay for is the hosting and the domain registration and the bandwidth. Right. So we really, really appreciate this. And Craig and I are going through right now, as this is being recorded, we're converting over to a new hosting provider to save money so that we're ultimately going to be able to do more with what you give us. Thank you.
So I'm working out my fingers now to start typing some my SQL queries.
Okay.
He's
got to copy and paste all of those posts for the last 15 years.
Hey, so thank you for putting your money where our mouths are.
Nice. I guess. If you want to be part of this crew, you can do so for as little as a dollar a show. Patreon.com, patreon.com/Technorama podcast. We really, really thank these people so much. And right after this gets done, we'll record their special content.
Hey, so, if you want us to thank you, go to Patreon.
Yep. Okay, that's enough electric band. We'll just stop it right there. And over to the media corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Oh, this one's fun, Craig. Why don't you take this?
Sure. So Charlene has made her, is it Maryland? Maryland Walmart internet famous. But what's in it for her? So the article reads, I cornered Charlene in electronics department at Maryland Walmart. She helped make famous. And she was not happy about it. I was the fourth or maybe fifth person to do that on Wednesday. Everyone else took a selfie with her. I just wanted to talk. More admirers were coming for Charlene. Online fans, her fans were as far away as California are threatening to road trip to Northeast Maryland, a Chesapeake Bay town of fewer than 4,000 people, just to meet a famous Charlene. The internet.
She's not like a fashion model here. There's no, a picture of her sitting in a cart with a bunch of cabbages.
Yeah, so they describe her as the internet's new grumpy cat.
That's pretty much what she looks like in a shopping cart with cabbages.
Yeah, she has this nondescript face just kind of sitting there, without an expression, really. Anyway, so
I'm sure
she's a 64-year-old grandmother with frosted hair, high waist jeans, and resting go slither away die face. Wow.
I wonder how someone would describe our resting faces.
No, let's don't do that. That's the question of the week, kid. No.
Go slither away and die.
Yeah. So she is Walmart's unlikely frowning, scowling, posting from the Maryland store's Facebook feed with various sale items and the kind of deadpan face that loads of cheap plastic from China and Walmart.
She's almost got a smile on the one where she's laying on the couch.
Yeah, I'm not going to read the whole article. But anyway, you can go look at some of the pictures. And she's sitting there. It doesn't look happy to be in the picture, so to speak. But she's posed with, some oranges or something like there in a juicer. And then she's sitting there in a frog sand. A kid's sandbox with an umbrella.
Yeah, I didn't have that picture on our feed, but
there's a bunch of
real winners.
Yeah, there's some real winners. So, but apparently it's gone really viral and people just want to go see her and stuff. And so
you never know what the internet's going to latch on to.
I know. You know what I was thinking when I saw this? Do you remember the Honey Bunches of Oats, the lady that they did commercials like years ago? And they used real people from the factory. Mm-hmm. Well, this one lady, she became so famous. I still see her in the ads today, but she's long retired. But they still put her in the ads for the, I think it's Honey Bunches of Oats.
I'm surprised Walmart lets her get away with this, to be honest. You're representing a major corporation, one of the biggest in America. And it's not necessarily in a positive light. Like, hey, this is our juicer that's on sale.
Yeah, here you go. So this, the lady, I'm looking for her name. Oh, Deanna Hunter was the lady that is on the Honey Bunches of Oats commercials. Yes. And she's retired, but she did come out of retirement for some ads. I mean, she's the one that looks like she's got a hairnet on and she's holding the box. I know you've seen her.
Probably, but I'm just not recalling it. Is she going to drag the fast-talking FedEx guy out of retirement too?
The Maytag repairman.
Well, now they're using Mike Rowe. I think the Maytag repairman is no longer with us. The original.
Oh, right.
As is Mr. Ripple he is and not, Kentucky he, Fried Chicken. No,
he
Colonel
is not
Sanders.
With us anymore. Anyway. Right. Hey, you got your phone? Hey, do you have your phone beside you?
Yes, I do.
Hey, pull it up.
Look, it's a. I got another Google survey. I'll be right back.
No, wait. I just texted you the picture of the lady I'm talking about. I know you've seen her on TV.
I got nothing. Your Cox bill is ready. Thanks for using Easy Pay.
I just texted it to you. You should get it.
$1 million. Okay, there it is. You heard that, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, no, not ringing any bells, but I do like the hard hat on top of the hairnet on top of the fro.
Anyway,
can we do our last story now?
They did.
Are you done with your Honey Bunches of Oats?
Anyway, this is what it reminded me of. They, something everybody kind of latched on.
Well,
and now
the Honey Bunches of Oats lady at least has a smile. This is
I think she was happy to be in the commercial. So I think that's the point of the Walmart lady.
I'm not drawing the same parallels between a happy person on a cereal commercial versus a grumpy person on social media.
Deanna was originally an employee of a cereal company, whatever the Kellogg's.
But they approached her.
Post. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Post.
Anyway, let's just move along. Fine.
You never know what's going to make Craig happy.
No. Well, there's not much that doesn't make. Well, I get excited about all kinds of crap.
I'm not sure this is a new news story because it says NASA is recruiting astronauts and there are two basic requirements to apply. They've been recruiting astronauts for over 50 years.
Yeah, but now they've whittled it all down.
Okay.
The two basic requirements, so go for it.
Ever wished your career would really take off?
Okay. That was low-hanging fruit right there.
Willing to go above and beyond to get things done? Ready to take a giant leap? Oh, this is just painful.
Yeah.
Then this might be the news you've been waiting for. NASA is recruiting astronauts. What's more, there are only two basic requirements for anyone wanting to fly to the moon to the 21st century. A master's degree in a STEM subject and U.S. citizenship.
Okay, we're done.
I'm good. Let's go apply.
Do you have a master's?
That's not quite all it takes, of course. Applicants will also need to be at least 2 years of related professional experiences or upwards of 1,000 hours piloting a jet aircraft. We're out.
Yeah.
Speak for
yourself, Chuck.
There's the two-hour online assessment and a smaller matter of what NASA describes as a, quote, long-duration spacecraft physical. And when it comes to making it to the interview stage, the numbers are a little daunting, too. In 2016, NASA's Astronaut Selection Board received 18,300 applicants, of which just 120 were invited in to talk about their application. Just 350 people have been selected to train as NASA astronauts in the 1960s. Oh, there we go.
So a long duration spacecraft physical, is that like what we saw Pauly Shore do in Biodome?
Never saw it, so can't answer that question.
I'm sorry, see, I'm cracking myself up.
You're the only one getting some of these references, I'm telling you.
Ultimately, it's all that matters is I make myself laugh.
Yeah, well, you know, there's the audience of the show to consider, too.
All right.
Just saying.
Yeah, okay, maybe. You're right.
I know we started this podcast out once upon a time. It's just you and me getting together to hang out.
Oh, look, we're down to one Patreon patron
and no viewers on Facebook anymore.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's been a long week. Okay.
He's already getting into the vacation mode.
I'm ready for it.
Fight through it, Craig. Fight through it. There's a lot more to go.
I got to get through this last week. It's going
to
be,
I'm not going to want to come back. That's the harder part, is getting back to work when you come back.
So what happened to Chuck? I don't know. He was sitting on the rail.
Then we find out next year, our church group is going to Italy. Like, oh man, I really want to do that. But Donna, I was in the sound booth looking across the church to Donna and the choir and making this. Oh man. Like
the same time.
We got to cancel a couple other vacations.
What a first world problem.
I just need to retire already. Get this out of my system. Then we can go on these trips.
Yeah, Chuck's like, I got six vacations booked that week. Sorry.
Gotta pick one. This is terrible. I'm going to go on all of them. All right, that brings us to the end of the show. Our question of the week this time is, if you could cancel any TV show, what would it be? Oh, any currently running TV show?
I thought about that. I thought current, or maybe if you had a chance to
go back in time and cancel.
What if it was already, I know it was already canceled, but what if it was the show you would have been the one to cancel it? How about that?
Or I want to go back and find the person who canceled Firefly and not cancel it.
Yeah. Well, no, let's stick with canceling. Okay. So if you could cancel any TV show, I'm gonna say past or present, because if it's something you really hated, you could just say, I would cancel it. Well, what would it be?
How are we gonna describe that in a short little message on Twitter?
There you go. Past or present.
And then somebody's gonna go, well, if it's the past, then
I know it's already canceled, but if it was a show you really hate, say if you hated BJ and the Bear, would you have gone back and canceled it? I don't know. Just saying.
You're gonna have a lot of confused people if you try and explain it that way.
Okay, so maybe should we just go
with if you have current? To explain it, yes.
Okay.
If you could cancel any current TV show.
All right, fine. See, this is how we developed the show on the fly.
Live on the fly. He's typing as we go. Okay, our question of the week is, if you could cancel any current TV show, what would it be? There we are. We'll see what people come back with. I could think of a half a dozen that I would cancel in a minute because they're just rotting our... They're lowering the IQ of the nation, I swear.
Wow. Name one.
I'll name it after the show is over.
Okay, fine.
I can think of three off the top of my head that are extremely popular, involve people on a stage, and a panel of judges. How's that?
Shark Tank?
I can't. I kinda Vacation like Shark Tank, time. By the way. Let's get out of here. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can get a hold of us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. We're always there 24/7. The answering machine is standing by.
Right.
You can also get a hold of us on our website at chuckchat.com/technorama. And we really, really appreciate those Patreon people. So if you're interested in becoming a patron...
We appreciate all of you, by the way.
We appreciate all of you. Thank you for hanging out and stopping by. I know this. Sometimes this watch party thing works out, and sometimes it doesn't. Can get a little long for some of you. Some of you stick through the whole thing. Some of you wait for the podcast to come out. Thank you. Thank you very much to everybody who's spent some time with us. And we look forward to seeing you when we get back from the Caribbean. Till then, give him a binary high five, Craig.
All right. 101. Bye. Bye, everybody.